The Shepherd's Psalm, an exposition of Psalm 23. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, August the 2nd, 2009.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. I pray that as we come to gather around your word, that you would open it to us. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and make application to our heart. That you would speak that word that we need to hear, that word that encourages, that word that challenges, that word that enables us to be the people that you desire us to be. Father, grant us courage to live in light of the truth you reveal to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Spurgeon referred to it as the pearl of the Psalms. Alexander McLaren said that the world could spare many a large book better than this sunny little psalm. It has dried many tears and supplied the mold into which many hearts have poured their perfect faith. It is without a doubt the most beloved of the 150 psalms and the most recognized. Millions have memorized it. Untold numbers have been comforted in times of death and bereavement by these simple words. This is one of those texts that I really have a lot of trouble preaching. And my difficulty in preaching this text is not the complexity of the text. It's that I'm worried that I'll take away from the text by what I say. Because the simplicity of these words speak for themselves. We've heard it. We've sung it, we've memorized it. What could we possibly add to it? We have here the words of the great Shepherd King, who speaks of the shepherding of our God, the loving shepherding care of our God for His people. As we walk through this passage this morning, I simply want to remind you of some things you already know and hope that it will be an encouragement as the Lord speaks to us through His Word. Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Simple, direct, straightforward, and powerful. What is it that God is saying to us? What is it that our Lord wants us to understand from this beautiful little psalm? I think it comes down to this. As believers, as the people of God, we commit ourselves to the comforting, shepherding heart of God. In all of life, in all of our circumstance, and wherever we are and whatever's going on in our life, whatever heartache we're going through, whatever trouble is on the horizon, wherever we are, whatever context, we commit ourselves to the shepherding, comforting, loving presence of our God. See, we don't have any assurance that as God's people we'll be free from trouble. We don't have any assurance that if we just love Jesus, everything's going to be all right. What we do have is if all hell breaks loose, we have a loving, compassionate God who walks with us. We have a gracious, loving Savior who said, I'll never leave you. We have a God who's promised to provide, to guide, to love, and to be ever-present. What we have in the 23rd Psalm is really the Old Testament equivalent to the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 when He said, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is an invitation to come and be quieted, an invitation to come and be comforted, to find strength, to find encouragement, to find life. But the psalmist does something more than just call us to comfort. He does something besides just say, you all just rest in God. He gives us the rationale for why we can rest in Him. He tells us how we find our rest and peace in our God. Three things I want to call to your attention. First of all, the fact that we as believers are able to rest in God's abundant and gracious provision of our every need. The opening words of the psalm are profound. You may not note that. You may not have noticed it when I read through it. You may read through it 1,000 times and not catch it. But these are profound words. Look at them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, the problem is we're too familiar. The problem is we know this passage too well. And so we read the words and they just are words. They lose their significance because we've heard them again and again and again. It's like an old shirt. We're too comfortable with it. But stop and think for a minute. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd. Did you catch it? Look at it. Don't just listen. I want you to look down at your Bible and see if you can see it. Look at the word Lord. In most English translations, you'll find the word Lord is in all capital letters. Because this is not the term Lord. This is not the word Adonai. This is not the title Lord. Rather, it is the covenant name of God. It's God's name. The God who revealed Himself. The God who made Himself known. The God who entered into covenant relationship with the people Israel. He is the one who is our shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not be in want. Do you remember what happened in Exodus 3? Moses is out tending sheep and caring for his father-in-law's flock, and he comes across a bush that's on fire. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. And that caught his attention, as I think it would any of us. If you're walking around, there's a bush on fire, but it's not burning up, that's a curious thing. And so he approached it, and a voice spoke to him and said, take your sandals off. You're on holy ground. You remember that encounter? And do you remember that God said to him out of that bush and out of that experience, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and set my people free. And again, we're too familiar with the story. Put yourself in Moses' place. God said, Moses, I want you to go back to the most powerful nation on earth. The one you ran away from because you're wanted for murder. I want you to walk back there. I want you to walk into the palace. I want you to go to the throne room of Pharaoh. I want you to walk up to the Son of the Sun, the most powerful man on the face of the earth, and I want you to point your finger in his face, and here's what I want you to say. The invisible God of the Hebrew slave said, let my people go. How would you like that assignment? You remember what Moses said? Sure, great idea, just one thing. In case they ask who sent me, what am I supposed to tell them? And the answer came, you tell them, I am. That's the word that's used here. It's the Hebrew verb to be. So what God said to Moses and what God has said to His people throughout the ages is, I am whatever it is you need. Period. It's an inexhaustible name. It covers everything. I am. That's all you need to understand. It speaks to His being timeless. He is eternal. It speaks to his self-sufficiency. He just is. So he's not dependent on anyone or anything. He has no need. God does not need wisdom from anyone. He does not need power. He does not need worship. He does not need help. He does not need to be served. And he is accountable to no one. Why? Because he's God. I am. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, this all-sufficient, eternal, unchanging, sovereign being is my shepherd. That is an amazing and profound truth. When you come across those simple words, the Lord is my shepherd, you need to understand what you're saying. The eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, self-sufficient God is your shepherd. Therefore, you have no need. Meaning you have no need that is beyond his power. In ancient Israel and other ancient cultures, shepherd's work was lowly work. It was not the job you aspired to. In fact, in a family, if the family needed a shepherd, it usually fell to the youngest kid. The youngest son would be assigned the job because it's a nasty job. You got to live with the sheep 24/7. You got to feed them. You got to protect them. You got to guide them. You got to deal with them. It would make you spiritually unclean living because you had to deal with death and other things connected with caring for the flock. You had to spend all of your time with these dumb, smelly sheep. Who in their right mind wants that job? And yet Yahweh has chosen to be the shepherd of his people. To guide, to protect, to feed, to care for. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name. They know my voice. They will follow me. And I'll lay down my life for my sheep. I'll give my life for them because I'm not a hireling. I'm not a hired hand that was just paid minimum wage to watch over the sheep. I love these sheep and so I'll die for them. That's the Lord who is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Meaning, I have no needs. I lack for nothing. Because my shepherd provides my needs. Several years ago, I was at a conference where E.V. Hill was the featured speaker. And in one of his messages, he talked about a service at their church where they had children get up and recite Bible verses that they'd been learning. And he said there was a young girl who got up in their church and she stood very proudly and she had memorized the 23rd Psalm and she was going to say it for everyone. So everyone got real quiet and here she was, this precious little girl, and she stood up there in front of everybody and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." And E.V. Hill said, the words were wrong, but the theology was right. The Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want. Why? Because when I have him, I have everything. And if I don't have him, I have nothing, even if I have the whole world. The Lord Almighty, all-sufficient, all-powerful, ever-existing, sovereign Lord of all things is my shepherd. So I don't have any needs that can't be met because he's promised to supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Notice provision. Just casually look down through what he's promised to do. To make us lie down in green pastures. To lead us by still waters or quiet waters. To restore our soul. To provide a banquet, a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. To anoint our head with oil. He has promised to provide all that we'll ever need. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, talks about that phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And as a professional shepherd, Keller says, that's an almost impossible task to make sheep lie down. Because in order for sheep to lie down, in order for sheep to be quieted and to be stilled, they have to be free from fear. And they're skittish. It doesn't take much to cause them to fear. So there has to be no fear. The fear has to be driven out. There can be no conflict within the flock. They have to be free from parasites or irritants. And they must be well fed. So when David says, he makes me lie down, don't get the image that he has a big stick and he says, lay down. I said, lay down. And then, whack, lay down. The image is, he has driven out all fear. He has fed. He's gotten rid of all irritants. And he created an environment where you naturally lay down and find rest. He restores my soul. Keller feels like that's probably a reference to cast sheep. Those are the ones that it's been a long time since they've been sheared and their wool has gotten heavy and they get top heavy and they fall over. And once they fall over and get on their back, they can't get back up. Until the shepherd comes and sets them right. And David says, he sets me right. Speaks to the emotional and the spiritual and the physical needs that are all supplied. Our peace, our comfort, our rest is due to the shepherding care of our God, who promised to provide all of our needs. You get a sense of how important it is to know that? See, this is the kind of thing you need to know when you're on the phone and the other end of the phone says, I'm calling with your test results. You need to know that the Lord God is your shepherd. And he provides for your need. When you have a wayward child, and you're burdened about their lifestyle, and you're burdened about where they're heading, and you're burdened about the trouble they find themselves in, you need to know the Lord is your shepherd. He can provide peace and rest and comfort when you don't have a reason for that. What a wonderful, comforting word. But second, believers are able to rest in God's gracious leadership and guidance. He leads me. He guides me. Sheep are dumb. They can be well fed. They can be provided for. They can be kept. They can be in abundant pasture. They can have ample water and they will still wander off searching for something better. or they'll stay in grace until they've eaten all the grass, roots and all, to where there'll be no future provision. And yet we're told our shepherd will lead, our shepherd will guide, because he keeps a vigilant watch over his flock. To guide and direct our path. Isaiah, in describing the suffering servant who would come and take away our sin, made this statement leading into it. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned her own way. Each of us have lived according to our own mindset. We've lived according to our own agenda. Each of us, though we're cared for, though we're loved, though we're provided for, think there's something better over there. And thank God we have a shepherd who continues to keep watch, even when we're rebellious, even when we're ungrateful, even when we are mindless of his presence and care. He's a shepherd who loves his sheep and continues to lead and guide and care for and comfort, and who's promised to lead us into paths of righteousness. The final thing is that we are able to rest in God's abiding presence. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Do you notice the switch? Look at verses 1 through 3, and then look at verses 4 and 5. Do you see it? In the first three verses, he speaks of the shepherd in the third person. He. Now he changes. You. The intimacy. The personal relationship. The personal care of our shepherd. See, here's the great thing about our God. This God who spoke and a world came into being. This God of incredible power who could say, let there be light, and there's light. The God who spoke the world into being is personally involved in the daily leading, guiding, caring, and comfort of his people. That is astounding. Our God's not some cold, indifferent force out there that you're trying to use some trick, you're trying to use some means of tapping into his power somehow. He is a person who relates to his people. As a shepherd, caring for his sheep. So, the shepherd says to one of his sheep, Blackfoot, get over here. Brownie, back. That's the God we serve. It's the God we love. Not a power, but a person. so that we're able to say when death comes, when death invades our world, when death wreaks havoc, I'm not afraid because I know my shepherd's with me. I'm not afraid to walk through this valley because the one who's walking this valley with me has already been here and rose triumphantly on the other side. So I don't need to fear. I don't need to worry when everything goes wrong that I'm going to be provided for. He's going to spread a banquet for me with me surrounded by my enemies. That's because of His power. That's because of His kindness. That's because of His mercy. Because of His grace. Simple words, profound meaning. Simple words, but words that we're going to spend an eternity understanding the depth of. Every child of God is to rest in the comforting, shepherding heart of God. A God who supplies your every need. A God who promises to direct your path. A God who promises His abiding presence. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.